Hazard, caution, biological hazard. This laboratory conforms to USG P4-EK3 genetic protocols. Underneath were more signs. Caution, tetragenic substances, pregnant women avoid exposure to this area. Danger, radioactive isotopes in use, carcinogenic potential. Tim grew more excited all the time. Tetragenic substances? Things that made monsters? It gave him a thrill. And he was disappointed to hear Ed Regis say, "Never mind the signs, they're just up for legal reasons. I can assure you everything is perfectly safe." He led them through the door. There was a guard on the other side. Ed Regis turned to the group. "You may have noticed that we have a minimum of personnel on the island. We can run this resort with a total of 20 people. Of course, we'll have more when we have guests here, but at the moment, there's only 20. Here's our control room. The entire park is controlled from here." They paused before windows and peered into a darkened room that looked like a small version of Mission Control. There was a vertical glass see-through map of the park, and facing it, a bank of glowing computer consoles. Some of the screens displayed data, but most of them showed video images from around the park. There were just two people inside, standing and talking. "The man on the left is our chief engineer, John Arnold," Regis pointed to a thin man in a button-down, short-sleeved shirt and tie smoking a cigarette. "And next to him, our park warden, Mr. Robert Muldoon, the famous white hunter from Nairobi." Muldoon was a burly man and cocky, sunglasses dangling from his shirt pocket. He glanced out at the group, gave a brief nod, and turned back to the computer screens. "I'm sure you want to see this room," Ed Regis said, "but first let's see how we obtain dinosaur DNA." The sign on the door said extractions, and like all the doors in the laboratory building, it opened with a security card. Ed Regis slipped the card in the slot, the light blinked, and the door opened. Inside, Tim saw a small room bathed in green light. Four technicians in lab coats were peering into double-barreled stereo microscopes or looking at images on high-resolution video screens. The room was filled with yellow stones. The stones were in glass shelves, in cardboard boxes, in large pull-out trays. Each stone was tagged and numbered in black ink. Regis introduced Henry Wu, a slender man in his 30s. "Dr. Wu is our chief geneticist. I'll let him explain what we do here." Henry Wu smiled. "At least I'll try," he said. "Genetics is a bit complicated, but you're probably wondering where our dinosaur DNA comes from."
"It crossed my mind," Grant said.
"As a matter of fact," Wu said, "there are two possible sources. Using the Loy antibody extraction technique, we can sometimes get DNA directly from dinosaur bones."
"What kind of a yield?" Grant asked.
"Well, most soluble protein is leached out during fossilization, but 20% of the proteins are still recoverable by grinding up the bones and using Loy's procedure. Dr. Loy himself has used it to obtain proteins from extinct Australian marsupials, as well as blood cells from ancient human remains. His technique is so refined, it can work with a mere 50 nanograms of material. That's 50 billionths of a gram."
"And you've adapted his technique here?" Grant asked.
"Only as a backup," Wu said. "As you can imagine, a 20% yield is insufficient for our work. We need the entire dinosaur DNA strand in order to clone, and we get it here."
He held up one of the yellow stones.
"From amber, the fossilized resin of prehistoric tree sap."
Grant looked at Ellie, then at Malcolm. "That's